Connor Esiason on a Patriots Monday brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. And by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning. Things are not going well here in New York this morning, so I know that the Patriots got beat over in London, but I mean, I got to deal with three losing teams, the Mets, the Yankees, the Mets, the Jets, and the Giants got slaughtered yesterday.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about the Yankees, so let's start there, and we really don't want to talk about what happened in London yesterday, but you picked the word. Pathetic, embarrassing, unprecedented, S-show, like, you pick it, Boomer.
In relation to who?
Our New England Patriots.
You know what? I think there's two ends of the spectrum. There's the Jets, who are all in for this year, spending a lot of money, bringing Aaron Rodgers here, bringing Davante Adams here, Hassan Reddick supposedly coming back today. And what is the future? What is the immediate future? I don't know, because they just got hammered by the Steelers. And I don't even know what the future for the next 10 weeks is going to be. But, you know, for the Patriots, I look at this team and I say, okay, it looks like they have their quarterback of the future. He looks the part. He looked the part last week. He looked a little bit better this week. He looks like he's not afraid to throw the ball down the field. He's accurate, and he looks like he's in charge. So, to me, the future is bright, because the biggest question seems to be answered by the Patriots, and that would be Drake May. And, when you're 26 to 37 in an NFL game, you got two touchdowns, you don't turn the ball over, and it's your second start, that's pretty damn good. So,
is the future bright if Gerard Mayo remains your head coach?
Well, I understand that that's the big question, and he's replacing a legend, which is impossible to do. And I said in week one, I thought the players really loved him and played for him. They gave him the game ball after they beat the Bengals. And it's been nothing but downhill since then. And I think he's dealing with a flawed roster. I mean, I told you in week one that I felt like the Patriots were right there with the Panthers in terms of the roster construction, the amount of money that they spent, the trades that they made. I mean, things looked to me like they were in a total rebuilding year. And I do still firmly believe that this is that's all about rebuilding. It's all about getting Drake May, getting his feet underneath him, and allowing him to become the leader of the team moving forward. Now, I know Patriot fans don't want to hear that, but to me, this is a team that's totally in rebuild mode. They're not going to say that. They're not going to feel that way. They're going to want to win every single game. The coach is going to want to win every single game. But let's face it, they are just not a good team on paper in terms of their roster.
Never mind talent, though, but when he says after that game, this is a soft football team, that isn't that on him?
That's an indictment. It's an indictment of the players, for sure. It's an indictment of the coaching staff. And I think, when you lose, you say things because you want to be on. I believe the coaches want to be honest. Like Bill Belichick would just say on to whoever, and he really wouldn't expand his thoughts. And now you have a coach that is willing to expand his thoughts, and I want honesty. I want to be able to hear what the coach really feels like after a game. And, that's the ex-player in him, too, by the way. And when you think about, like, Antonio Pierce out with Las Vegas, 3 weeks ago he said, we have guys out here making business decisions. I don't think you'd ever hear Andy Reid say that, or John Harbaugh say that, or, Bill Belichick would have never said anything like that. He would have kept everything in-house. He would have held people accountable in front of the team, and he would have never thrown the team under the bus. So I hear ex-players who are becoming head coaches talking like they're still a part of the team as a player. And those are words that players use. Aaron Rodgers last night after the game was over, like an idiot, I stayed up and watched this. I wanted to hear what he had to say. He goes, I was flat at halftime. I'm like, you're flat at halftime? What does that mean? I mean, if I'm a Jet fan, I'm like, are you getting ready for Pat McAfee on Tuesday? What are we doing here? And, so I understand where Gerard Mayo's coming from, because I do believe there's that ex-player is still in him, and he still is talking in honest terms. So I do appreciate it, but it does give you some insight as to how the team is playing and how he views the team playing.
Bomar, I think the biggest issue, and I said this a few weeks back, is like he's like Sonny from A Bronx Tale, where they're asking him, would you rather be feared or loved? And I don't know if the players fear him. I think they love him, and that's the thing that made Belichick such a great coach, is the fear level was there. And can you be a guy in this era that can just coach where guys love you, but they don't necessarily are willing to run through a brick wall for you? And I feel like Mayo's fighting that uphill battle, whether it's guys saying stuff or whether it's him saying stuff about his team in the media. I don't know if you get that same type of feeling.
I would say it's a very good point. You know, it's a really in-depth point, which is surprising coming from you, Jermaine.
I am a deep person.
I mean, you went deep into the weeds with this one, and I got to tell you, from a psychological standpoint, I'm shocked. So I don't know how really to answer that. I think it goes back to, and in correspondence to what I just said about him being an ex-player and talking like an ex-player, like Antonio Pierce is doing out in Las Vegas. I mean, these guys are still close to the players that are in age and that are playing. I know that there's a discussion about whether or not coaches could be the way they were when we played, especially when I played, because I played longer than you did ago, and where they were a little bit tougher on us and they held the hammer on us. But now with certain players making so much money, it's impossible to hold them accountable. I don't know how Jeff Ulbrich can hold Aaron Rodgers accountable for throwing interceptions, or Garrett Wilson, who thinks he's the next coming of Randy Moss, dropping passes in the midst of a game and changing momentum. I don't know how these coaches, these ex-players who turn into head coaches, handle that kind of stuff, because it's really, really difficult. So Gerard has got his hand, he's got his hands full. The team is losing. There is no light at the end of the tunnel for this season. I think it's going to be about the draft. It's going to be about off-season free agency. I'm assuming that Robert Kraft is going to give him a couple of years to see if he can find his footing. But I know in the middle of a season in which the team is 1-6, the only bright spot right now is the play and performance of the rookie quarterback over the last 2 weeks.
Boomer, you bring up how bad the roster is around Drake May, though. Do you think that people owe Bill Belichick an apology, who put all the blame on him for so many years?
I think Bill Belichick is having a hell of a time. I don't think anybody need to owe him anything. He got a lot of money. He got a lot of Super Bowls. We all know about his personal life. Seems like it's going in the right direction for himself. He's having a hell of a time with the media. He's on TV every time I turn it on, and he looks like he's having a hell of a lot of fun. So apologizing to him, I don't. There's no reason to. I mean, it kind of fizzled out, and it kind of got itself worn out. And, you know, it was a unique situation that lasted a very long time, which is not usually the way that it goes down in the NFL. So I know, Courtney, you know, we have feelings for Coach Belichick, but I don't think he feels like he needs an apology. And I certainly think that he'll be back next year doing something on somebody's sideline, probably, with a place that he chooses to go, which is going to be really, really interesting when we get to the end of the season.
But we still have Elliott Wolf here, who's making decisions when it comes to who are the guys that they're bringing in for this roster, and we're still in a terrible spot. So to put all the blame on Bill Belichick for the last two seasons, that he was making all the decisions of who was going to be on this roster, and that's why we're in the position we're in now, seems like maybe we had it wrong.
Yeah, I think losing does that. You know, if you have a couple of losing seasons back-to-back and you're trying to play with Cam Newton and then you're trying to play with Mac Jones, and it's like, you know, that's not Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is at the top of the spectrum. And I have to say, listening to him doing the San Francisco-Kansas City game yesterday, you know, I learned a lot. You know, he taught viewers a lot about what the hell is going on in the field. And when you listen to him talk and the way that he thinks as a quarterback and how he thought as a quarterback tells you a lot about how far away they were from that intensity when they try to replace him with those quarterbacks that they had on the roster. And maybe Drake May will be the next guy. I don't know. He looks good. He looks the part. He stands tall in the pocket. Seems like he's fearless. I just don't know if he is as dedicated. So Tom Brady raised the level of everybody on that team. Now, they had some really good players that they picked, but they also, if we really want to go down the history of the Patriots and some of the decisions they made, to me, Bill Belichick made the decision to move on from Ty Law, made the decision to move on from Richard Seymour. Like, he had a real knack to understand when it was time to trade guys at their at their highest level or let them go and replace them with other players that he thought could do the same job but didn't cost as much. So that part of it, I think Bill Belichick is about one of the greatest guys manipulating and seeing the salary cap and how to react to it when he did and how he did it.
Boomer, watching that game, and it was great. I thought Tom was superb. And I am just more impressed than ever with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The way Andy Reid diagrams those plays, I know Mahomes' stats have been not great. He's the first time in consecutive games without a touchdown pass in a very long time. But what Mahomes is doing today, is he the MVP despite the six touchdowns and eight interceptions?
I would think that Jared Goff has got to be the leader in that category right now. Jared Goff has had three incredible games in a row. He's putting up huge numbers. Detroit looks to be like one of the top teams in the NFC, and their win at Minnesota yesterday was really, really impressive. However, saying that, I believe that Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady had the same kind of DNA. They always won the fourth quarter, or it felt like they always won the fourth quarter, regardless of what they did the previous three quarters. That fourth quarter, the game was on the line. If the defense kept it close like Kansas City has been doing for the Kansas City defense has been doing for their offense, then all Patrick Mahomes has to do is make a few plays here and there, whether it be running or throwing the football. And Patrick's a winner, just like Tom was. You know, those guys know how to win football games in the heat of the moment against really good teams. And quite frankly, you know, Brock Purdy had his worst game as a pro yesterday. So I give the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs the game ball for their performance yesterday, and basically lay it on the feet of Brock Purdy for playing as poorly as he did. But you're right, Patrick Mahomes is a winner in the fourth quarter, just like Tom Brady was when he was with the Patriots.
Myles Garrett, Jameis Winston, several Browns players talked about how disgusted they were with fans booing Deshaun Watson when he was on the ground with that Achilles tear. You feel the same way about that?
Well, I mean, if you take Myles Garrett's quotes a little bit further and not just put it in this one little box, yeah, I hate when fans either boo or cheer a player, depending on how you view it. A player that's hurt, regardless of what they've done off the field. But if you're going to take Myles Garrett's quotes about being a great human being off the field and then put them in that quote along with why the Browns fans are screaming at him, I don't agree with that part of it. Mm. I mean, yeah. That was a little bit over the top. I feel bad for Deshaun. He's never, ever found his footing. I don't think he ever again will find his footing. And it's just another huge mistake in a litany of mistakes for the Browns franchise. I mean, I don't care who owns the team. I don't care who's wearing that uniform. The people in that front office make the weirdest, well, the Jets are right there too, but I mean, the Browns make the weirdest decisions, and this decision to do this, what they did with Deshaun Watson, is going to come back and haunt them for years and years and years, and it may end up costing a really good coach, Kevin Stefanski, his job when it's all over said and done with.
Boomer, you talked about possible MVP, whether it's Jared Goff. I mean, Goff, I think you have to obviously put Josh Allen in there, as well as Lamar Jackson. Is there a team, if it's the Boomer Esiason power rankings, where you look and go, okay, this team is the number one team on your list, or do you feel like there's some good parity amongst those top echelon of teams?
I still believe that Baltimore is the best team in the league. We'll see them tonight against Tampa down in Tampa and Baker Mayfield. But I think they're the most difficult team to defend from a defensive standpoint because the two-headed monster of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are playing unbelievable football. And neither one has to carry the load like they have had to do for their respective teams because now they're together. And John Harbaugh and, you know, this offense is just impossible to stop. And Zay Flowers is one of the best wide receivers in football. They know who he is. They just don't put him in the top tier. I would put him in the top tier. That's how good he is. So they have everything. Tight ends, wide receivers, a good solid offensive line, and two really good playmakers that make it really hard on the defense. So from a standpoint of trying to defend somebody, I think in the AFC it's got to be Baltimore. They look like they are unstoppable on offense right now.
Question of the week for you, Boomer Esiason, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. We talked a lot about this last week, but it's so intriguing to me, and I want your perspective on it. Why is, you brought him up earlier, why is Tom Brady a minority owner of the Raiders and not the New England Patriots?
Yeah, because I don't know. It's weird. I think Mark Davis was looking for an infusion of money and excitement around his team. I didn't realize that Tom and Mark had some sort of relationship. I don't know if this has anything to do with his Fox contract. I don't know if it has anything to do with maybe some of the people that work for Tom that have inside with Mark Davis and maybe some of the other investors within the Raiders. But yeah, it's bizarre. The fact that he can actually do games and own a football team is also bizarre. But then again, when you win as many Super Bowls and you are the face of the league for as long as Tom was, I guess you can do it pretty much anything you want, kind of like Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Well, maybe Aaron Rodgers can buy the Jets.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, the pieces here are going to I can't even. This morning, I mean, my head is going to have to be on a swivel.
All right, Boomer. Well, thanks for taking the time, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a great week.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots fall to 1-6 on the season with a loss across the pond to Jacksonville. 32-16 was the final. Drake May completed 26 of 37 passes for 276 yards and 2 touchdowns. We'll be able to talk to Jerod Mayo during the 9 o'clock hour coming up.
Name one bright spot. Drake May is the one hope we have, Wiggy.
So let me ask this, because I asked it on Friday and you guys weren't on board. Uh-oh. Are we now on board with let's lose so we can have the number one overall pick?
I was talking to Breece Hill about this yesterday while we watched the game. He doesn't like that attitude at all. He was shocked by your suggestion. He doesn't like that attitude. You go out there to win every single week in life and in football.
Well, I'm not saying that the players throw it. I'm just saying
from a
fan's perspective.
No, that'll be miserable.
Well, why were we doing that last year?
I don't know. I just
why do we do it
I'm
in so many other sports?
I'm so tired of bad football. I would love to see a winning product.
But you're not going to get a winning product this year. So do you want the number one overall pick?
Or, I do.
You have it right now.
I did some research during the last break. The Patriots and Red Sox have the same number of wins since the start of last October. One each. Sox ended the regular season on October 1st, 2023, a win over the Orioles. The Patriots beat the Bills and Josh Allen last October 22nd. One win each since the start of last year.
Which is back in the playoffs first?
Red Sox. I don't know if James will ever see the Patriots in the playoffs.
Patriots will be in the playoffs next year.
Next year?
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is spend money.
Yeah.
And then when you have the number one overall pick, the sky's the limits with all the stuff you can do.
Right. Monday Night Football will see the Chargers taking on the Cardinals in Arizona and the Ravens taking on the Bucks. The Dodgers are headed to the World Series to take on the Yankees after a 10-5 win over the Mets in Game 6 of the NLCS. The World Series will kick off on Friday. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your
Thank
weather.
You, Courtney. Just like you brought the Miami weather back home. 54 degrees and sunny, afternoon high approaching 80.
All right, we will get to Courtney in today's news next, and then Jerod Mayo will join us here at Gillette Stadium during the 9 o'clock hour. My guess is around 9:20, 9:25 on today's show.